Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 29th of September. Today we conclude the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. We're actually going to sort of kill two birds with one stone today. We're going to finish the ninth chapter. That's verses, we really talked about 26 yesterday. We'll talk about 27 today. And then at the end, we're going to go back and review a verse that we received a question via email. I've given you this address before. It's a good time to do it again. If you have a question regarding something we go over, you can email us at ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. No guarantee of a return email on those. I'm filtering through those or we filter through to see if the questions apply to where we are in the DDP. So we may not get a written reply, but we will try to work it into a podcast somewhere along the way, okay? And I'll get to the question in a moment. 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I run thus. The thus is the previous verses, like we talked about yesterday. Run as if it matters. Be intentional. Focus on what you're doing. Don't approach life accidentally. I run this way, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I focus on my run. I focus on what is the true battle. Fighting as one who beats the air is not, it's not just a guy with his eyes closed swinging wildly. It's mistaking what you should be fighting. Paul believed in fighting the fight of faith. A lot of us are fighting the fight of works. We're struggling against ourselves, or we're struggling against other people, rather than the struggle being to remain in the faith. That's where your real fight is. Remain in the faith. If you'll focus yourself on that rather than just blindly... I see Christians who just sort of blindly rebuke everything. You know, like they'll have a problem and they'll start rebuking stuff. That is fighting as one that beats the air. I don't know that you have really listening at all to the Spirit's insight on what's happening. Sometimes something is happening in your life and you should pay attention to it. And sometimes it's circumstance and you walked into the wrong place at the wrong time. There's really no reason to categorize everything as being the same thing. So don't fight as one that beats the air. Fight as one that has a focus. Figure out what's going on. If you say, well, it's over my head and I can't figure it out, well, you have the wisdom of the ages. So start to pray from a focused place. Start to talk to the Father as if you have that focus. 27 concludes the chapter and the thought, and I think it's one of the better chapter breaks in the book. I think you'll see what I mean in a couple days when we get into chapter 10. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And that phrase I used the other day from the King James, I myself should become a castaway, and I told you it was sort of a local term, localized to that era, because that era, long distances happened by ship, and shipwreck was not entirely uncommon. It was a great risk to get on a boat, a large boat across the ocean. And so the storms that would strike in the Mediterranean are legendary. And Paul suffered several shipwrecks. And to be shipwrecked and a castaway would be someone who has drifted ashore where on a place that they did not intend to be. So you get on a boat to go from A to B, and you end up way out on an island you didn't intend to be upon. You didn't sign up for this. That's to be shipwrecked or to be castaway. So Paul says, I discipline my body and I bring my body into subjection because I know that if I don't, I might preach to other people, but then I find myself shipwrecked. I find myself, don't think a castaway or disqualified means I find myself going to hell. We jump there as Christians far too often. And actually, that thought process will lead to us going back and answering the question that will come up in just a moment. Paul doesn't, he's not talking about that at all. He's using a metaphor. And his metaphor is, I want to take care of myself. I discipline my body. I don't just do everything that crosses my mind, because if I'm instructing other people in the good news of the gospel of peace and grace, and I'm ignoring all physical cues in my own body, I might find myself shipwrecked on this journey of life with problems I can't get out of. And so it's a little bit like Paul's disciplinary spiritual instructions of Romans 6. You go back through there and look at his instruction for what happens now that we know we're baptized and we know we're resurrected into Christ. And so it's a little bit about that whole running intentionally and not just living accidentally. Now, a question came in via our DDP, ddp@paulwhiteministries.com. So a shout out to my friend Connie from North Florida, who is a faithful listener and supporter and friend of our ministry. And she emailed and asked a great question about the 11th verse of 1 Corinthians 8. And when we were in 1 Corinthians 8, sometimes I find myself staying so long in a passage or longer than I meant to that I move a little quickly. So it's good to get feedback because then I get to see where someone wishes we had went a little deeper into a word or explained something. In 1 Corinthians 8:11, the context is that Paul's talking about your liberty. In verse 9, don't let your liberty become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So it's people watching you eat foods offered to idols, but they don't think they ought to be eating foods offered to idols, and it causes them a problem because they're weak in their conscience. 10, if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who's weak be emboldened to eat the things offered to idols? Now here was their question, verse 11. And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. And that word perish, we didn't spend much time with, really at all, in that 11th verse. And I think the reason I didn't spend time with it is because, well, I'd been there a long time. But two, I was thinking more in line of what I think Paul's trying to accomplish in the context of the book, rather than viewing the word perish as a word that indicates a believer could lose their salvation and backslide. So I can see how if you see the Bible as the story of Christianity, but there's warnings that you can lose your salvation, then words like perish can cause you some grief because you're thinking, well, that confirms that. I don't see it that way, and I know my listener doesn't see it that way either, but we're still, there's a struggle there with what does that word perish mean. Well, it's deep and it's rich and it means a lot of stuff, as you can imagine in the Greek. So sometimes it's best to see what the author might have meant by seeing what he meant elsewhere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says this in verses 18 and 19, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." There are people who are perishing, and in that context, Paul talks about their perishing as needing the message of the cross. But notice it's an active word. They are perishing, contrasted with those who are being saved. And the Greek word there is the same word that Paul uses in chapter 8. But watch verse 19, because he uses it again. We don't catch it because it's not the same in the English. Verse 19, "It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." That word destroy is the word perish, or it's the word that gets translated for perish, the Greek word apolemai, and it means to be deprived of. So it's God saying, I will deprive their wisdom. The cross, there's a deprivation of wisdom when looking at the cross, that you think you know something, but you don't, because the cross speaks to something much deeper. So when Paul talks about the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's the power, it's to those of us who are being saved. Look at, these are process words. There are people who are being deprived. They're being deprived because God promised that the wisdom of the world is going to be brought to naught. They can't understand the cross. There are those of us who are being saved. So when he uses the same word, that's Paul. That's how he's thinking heading into Corinthians. When he uses the same word in 1 Corinthians 8:11, because of your knowledge, your weak brother perish. It's your weak brother being deprived. Being deprived of what? You don't have to think of it in terms of his soul. He's a brother. So what's he being deprived of? Well, contextually, your brother has a weak conscience. He's not, he doesn't understand why you're doing what you're doing, and he is emboldened, possibly, to eat things offered to idols. So it seems to me that Paul is saying, you have knowledge, you're fine. Your weak brother doesn't have that knowledge and is deprived of the security of that knowledge, why would you deprive him of the security of that knowledge by continuing to do things that cause him to stumble and to perish? I hope I've helped. Keep digging. I like it. Tomorrow, the Deeper Daily Podcast Essay Edition for September. I'll see you then. God bless.